Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Asian Avengers. So weak.
The Asian Avengers. So weak. So fuckable, bro. You know? Whoa. There's five Asian guys together.
Did you ever go through a stealing phase?
Do I think everyone should have a gun? Maybe.
Or you can look me up. I don't care. I'll fight you. I don't care.
You want to get high as fuck? You like opium?
And welcome back to a special episode of Asian Not Asian Podcast. The two Asian guys podcast where two Asian guys not from Asia talk about American issues no American cares about. I'm your host, Fumi Abe.
And I'm Mike Nguyen.
Today is August 1. And the reason why it's special is because, first of all, we're recording like 3 podcasts today. So forgive us if our voice is raspy or whatever.
We've been
sucking a lot of dick. I'll tell you that much.
We are.
A lot of podcast dick. And this one is special because we just wanted to, you know, I love that recently more Asian shit is becoming part of the cultural zeitgeist. I fucking love it because that means we get to have strong opinions on things. You know, a lot of times we're watching media and I gotta be like, man, do I really have to have a strong opinion on the fucking Bachelor? I don't give a fuck what happens to this fucking pilot from Texas. I don't give a fuck. He can get hit by a bus. It does not affect my life, you know? But now there's people who look like us on TV and I actually give a shit. And so this is a special episode dedicated to, we hope you're watching, Indian matchmaking. Is it matchmaker?
Yep. It's matchmaking. It's on Netflix.
Netflix. That's right.
And it's right up there. I think they're serving it up to everybody like pretty up high. I would imagine it's been making the internet rounds, and it's been cool. What I like too about having more different cultures, people of color, whatever, Asian, South Asian, is that like now we can start getting to like the good stuff. You know, because like for a while we had to like stay pretty high level with like boba jokes and stuff like that. And now we can like get to, oh, hey, don't you know we also beat our wives? You know, like, hey, let's get down stuff. There's some other good stuff we got
my
too.
My dad has a second family. Yeah, don't you know?
yeah. That's so it goes Crazy Rich Asians and then Crazy Rich Asians 2, second family. So
second family.
So now we're getting into the, like the other stuff. Yeah. And that's what I'm liking. But people who don't know,
A quick synopsis. Hit him.
Quick synopsis. It's a reality show, and it's about an Indian matchmaker, and she is just it's kind of like a dating reality show, except that you know there's a matchmaker there who's trying to put together couples, and they kind of walk through the whole process. They talk about how. With Indian matchmakers, you find everybody has kind of like a dating resume. They call it a bio data, and it's
biodata. Sorry to jump in like that.
I know. Very quickly. So it's a way. It's a little bit dating resume. It allows people to match each other up. Arranged marriages. You know, the way they've sort of portrayed in the show is that it's not like you have to marry them, but it's there's a strong amount of pressure. There's a lot of pressure from the families. You can say no, and it doesn't always happen. You do have to. You get to choose. You can also have what is called a love marriage, like a regular marriage, what we consider a regular marriage. But it follows a couple different people, and it's a really good show. It as far as like being a good reality show, that was one thing I noticed was that like they're really good. Like this person is the villain. There's a person who's a villain you hate, and there's a person who's like a princess who you love, and you're like, oh, I can't really. I hope she's okay. And there's another guy.
A princess with a flaw, might I add.
A princess who's like, oh my gosh, but if she only knew that she was beautiful on the inside, also on the outside because she's hot. Then there's like other like characters, and it's really interesting. And I grew up with a little bit of this. A lot of my friends were South Asian. You got a little like hint of this. It wasn't like in your face, but it was like something that was very like normalized. It was kind of like this was an option, right?
Right.
So yeah,
I think what makes the show pop, and it's really all over the internet right now, is that people just you know, again, it's like people don't know much about other cultures, right? Like, because they're not on TV. So for the first time, we're getting, and you know, we could have our guests talk about this. I imagine this is like a fairly, maybe, I hope it's a fairly accurate depiction of like what happens in matchmaking, at least the attitude of it. And, you know, it's funny because it's about matchmaking, but this show makes MTV Next look like Blue's Clues because, dude, bro, the way they fucking roast these bachelors, because on MTV Next, you know, a guy comes out of a bus, which is already like super unattractive because he's on a fucking bus. He comes out of a bus, and then a girl will be like, "Sorry, I'm not into jocks." But in this one, they're like, "Sorry, you were born into the wrong family." Like, it's fucking insane. Like, your whole existence is incorrect, right?
So that
was like, I think that was like shattering. You know, I also wrote down that, like, I feel like Indian people talk about skin color the way white people really want to talk about skin color. They're just so no beating around the bush. Like, you are not light-skinned enough. I'm so sorry. Like, it's so fucking blatant that it's actually kind of refreshing. It's like, oh, okay. I don't know people are allowed to, because, you know, 2020, everything is so fucking PC right now, right? So, like, the way they just, they're not embarrassed about it. So I thought that was definitely interesting, and definitely want to get our guest thought on this. So I'm so excited to bring him on. He is the co-host. Sorry, having a little Asian threat moment there. Having a co-host of the Hilarious Podcast, Mango Bay, also a comedian in New York City. He is, everybody, please welcome Pranav from Bed-Stuy. You see what
that's
I did
like
there?
That's like Seema from Mumbai. And Fumi, I too find the racism refreshing, you know?
Yes!
I also find the racism very refreshing. But like, finally, colorism is on TV. It's back, baby.
It had
to come back through Indians, but we're bringing it back, you know? Netflix found a way to bring it back into the culture.
I saw a lot of people commenting. I forget if it was the video you made or Usama made, but you guys made some jokes about like how, I think it might have been Usama was talking about, like, you know, he's making fun of the character and he's like, okay, to marry my daughter, you have to have a good job. You must be over 6'3". And if you are dark skinned, you will die alone, right? Like, it was something like that.
And a lot
of Americans were like, dude, for real? I could not believe how often that came up and how direct they were, you know? Like, is that like how reflective? I just want to understand, like, you've seen the show, obviously, how reflective of it, of actual what's actually happening over there, and like kind of like your knowledge about it.
Dude, this is like the nicest version that you could find of it. That's the thing about it. That's what people, and look, here's the thing, right? Is like, Indians in America are like, this isn't representative. You know, there's a better documentary on HBO where there's queer couples. I'm like, bitch, shut the fuck up. That is not what's happening in India. Okay, in India, it's straight up feudalism, okay, when it comes to the arranged marriages. Like, it's very accurate. The people are colorist. They're heightist. Okay,
yeah.
They're classist.
Classist.
They're all
sure.
the isms. They're all the bad isms.
Yeah.
They're all the bad isms, and there's no getting around that. So people want to be like, it's not really representative. I'm like, shut the fuck up. On the other hand, I find the other Indians who are like, I'm so happy we're finally represented this way. I'm like, skirt, slow down. Slow down too, okay? This ain't it, you know what I mean? This isn't our best foot forward or our best, you know, fucking representation in fucking American media. But it's like, yeah, dude, all of the stuff is like pretty accurate.
Yeah.
You know, the biodata is real.
So
The biodata is real.
I remember like maybe 3-4 years ago, I watched another documentary on Netflix called Meet the Patels. Have you seen that?
Yeah, that was a good one.
So that's about an actor who is, I believe he's in Master of None. He's like Aziz's friend. And it's a documentary about how he's got a white girlfriend, but he dumps her temporarily to go explore matchmaking or just arrange marriages. And then at the end, he marries his white girlfriend because white power. But it's a very different thing. Like, there is bio data, but I remember he goes to conventions and shit. There's not a matchmaker. And I was wondering, like, is this a service that is only available to the rich? Because I noticed a lot of Indian people on there. I mean, this show made India look like fucking Brooklyn. I was like, are they eating fucking pizza right now? Like, what the fuck is happening?
It's insane. No, how about that one guy, Pradyuman, the guy who's very obviously gay, by the way.
He makes
his own doll's clothing for, like, the Hindu murtis. Okay? He's like, this is my doll collection, and I make all their clothes myself. I'm like, bitch, this ain't for you. And then he brings out, he's like, here's some almonds with liquid nitrogen on them.
Everything has liquid nitrogen on it. I was like, dude, you know, just give this guy a dick. Jesus.
Yeah. Seriously. He needs a dick with some liquid nitrogen on it. Yeah.
I was like, hey, man, you know, it's all good.
You know what's so fucking funny about that guy and the other guy, Akshay, who was like very socially awkward? They're so funny because they're both like, I'm just, you know, I'm very picky. Like, I do have a type. I just want somebody who's wholesome. And they both pick models. And I'm like, that's your fucking type? Like,
no. Akshay's type was his mom.
Oh, that's right.
At one point, he's like, I just want someone like mom. And I was like, oh, fuck.
I thought for a second that guy was going to marry his cousin. I was like, you know what? Oh, he's vibing with his cousin. Who, by the way, is a pretty cool person.
The cousin is cool.
I was like, this is a cool cousin, you know, but like, I think that's like the closest female relationship I've ever seen him have, you know, so that was hilarious.
Totally. I think when they're like, what are you looking for in a woman? He's like, they must have given birth to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's his criteria. Like, I came out of the vagina and then I'll go back in. I was like, yeah, this guy is so fucking off the rails, bonkers, dude. My mom was like, my mom was watching the show. We were like texting about it, and then we talked about it after. And she didn't even remember his name, so she just kept calling him the psychopath. You know? She was like, "What's his name? The psycho." She was like, "No, it's in his eyes. It's in his eyes." You know, he's like, "I can tell." Like, she really hated this guy. And I was like, "What's going on there, mom?" I will say this: that whole scenario really did kind of indirectly shed light on kind of a big problem in India. Like, to get a little bit serious. And that is the issue of, like, child marriages, child brides, child grooms. You know? And by that, I'm talking about 20-something Indians who have PhDs who live in a state of emotionally arrested development.
Oh, shit.
Which is what was happening with Akshay and his bride. I don't know if you saw them trying to court each other.
Yeah.
That was the most demented shit I had ever seen in my life. Yes. That is the real child marriage. When you haven't seen a tit until you're 30 years old. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is the real child marriage. And I don't know if you remember their conversation, but there's, like, romantic jazz music playing.
Yeah.
And then they're on the phone, he's like, I like cats.
Yes. Are you into dogs?
And then
they cut to, I think she's the one.
Exactly.
It was like watching two 12-year-olds who had, you know, just been allowed to start talking to, like, opposite sex, and like, I'm really into video games, you know. Oh yeah, okay. And then it's like, all right, well, we doing this, you know?
Exactly.
So I mean, like, I guess like, let's get into a little bit of your own experience about it. Is this something that happened to, you know, your family? Is this like something was in your friends for yourself?
My parents were arranged marriage.
Yeah.
I have some cousins whose marriages have been arranged.
Yeah.
And it's becoming like a little bit less common, but of course there's no matchmaker, right? Fumi, you were asking, the matchmakers are for like really rich people.
Mm.
And my family's like pretty firmly like middle class in India, I'd say. You know what I mean? So for them, it's all family relations, family networks, stuff like that. Parents were arranged marriage. They met once before they actually got married.
Oh, shit.
Same thing with a bunch of my cousins. And it is a very common thing.
Did you ever go through...
That's why they have to call a love marriage.
Right. It's kind of fucked up
when you think about it, where it's like...
Yeah, you like the person.
This is so abnormal. Like, we have to call it a love marriage. It's fucking weird,
what,
you know?
Did your parents ever try to, like, make you go through arranged marriage or suggest girls or anything like that?
How is it... Is it, like, way different now about, like, with, like, you know, Indian Americans and South Asian Americans? Is that, like...
I know some, like, American Indians who've definitely got... For me... I think my parents kind of understood about me. I think they had hopes for my brother because he's like a pretty normal, chill dude.
Right.
He's like a
surgeon. He's got a good bio data, man. So he's chill. Got a good one.
His bio data. My bio data is like, it's like a cum emoji and like the weird tribal jungly face, you know? Yeah, like, yeah.
But also,
I think my parents were...
Yeah, but also Brooklyn Comedy Festival.
Yeah,
exactly. Rogue Island Comedy Festival, you know?
Wait, can I ask you something about that? Because, our mutual friend, Bassam Shaw, we know Bassam Shaw, right? He's a comic in New York and brown dude. And I called him that one time because he brings a lot of, he's very handsome and he gets a lot of girls. But they're always white girls. And I was like, this is during my Asian self-awakening where I was like, no, we must all date Asian women. So I called him out. I was like, bro, why do you always date white girls? Like, their Indian girls are fucking hot. Like, why don't you date brown girls, man? And he was like, oh, no. I really want to date brown girls. But, you know, he didn't say bio data, but he was like, if you look up me on paper, I'm 30. I have a part-time job. I'm a comedian. Like, they won't date me. Like, they're not allowed to date me. So it's like white girls are his default option. And I kind of like that.
You'll accept this trash right here, won't you? You have no standards.
Is there any truth to that?
I mean, there is a certain level of truth to that. Like, I don't know why he needs to go to a white girls, because I never date white girls, right? Mm-hmm. That's, like, verboten for me. Like, I just can't do it. So I don't know why he's always going white. But, like, what I will say is, like, I would definitely date more Indians, or I would have dated more Indians. But the fact is, like, Indians culturally haven't kind of caught up to this, you know, in terms of being somebody who's not as conventional, right, who likes to party, who doesn't really give a shit about the, I need to be married by this age, have 10 kids by this age, whatever, blah, 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 mm-hmm. right? So there is something to that. They're not, I think Indian women are now starting to catch up culturally to that.
Dating,
you know what I mean? Yeah. In terms of, like, being with somebody who's, like, a little bit less conventional, who's maybe a little bit wild, jungly, we call it. You know?
I call it stray dog, but yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Oh, God, Fumi, dog with no master? Can we just flash back to Fumi?
Is that what? What is this? What is this?
Okay.
What is this?
I hung out with Fumi back in, like, December or January.
I'm about to get canceled.
Oh, yeah. Fumi about to get canceled hard. Fumi, his racist ass, looks at me, and, you know, I'm just who I am. I'm in my leather. And Fumi starts, first of all, asking me about my fuck life, you know? He's like, oh,
That's a classic Fumi joke. Lot, don't way you? To go. Yeah.
He's like, you like to fuck a lot, don't you? I'm like, what is going on? Is this how you say hello, Fumi? Yeah. I'm like, what up, Fumi? He's like, you like to fuck.
It's
huh?
a Japanese
like,
thing, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And so at one point, Fumi's just like, he's getting weirdly, his ears are getting red or something, you know? He's getting really feverish.
I remember this now.
Flustered. He's like, man, you're like a dog with no master. I'm like, what the fuck? What the fuck? Dog with no master? And my, what's happening, as I can perceive it, is Fumi is going so deeply racist and, like, culturally just, like, he had to go deep into Japanese slurs, and then he had to translate it into English, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure
it sounded smooth as hell in Japanese. Like, what the chino? Something like that. It's like, oh, yeah, dog with no... But in English, he's like, oh, man, you're like... dog with no master. I'm like, oh fuck.
I feel that sounds like it could be a really tight thing to say to someone in Japanese. You know what I'm saying? You're a leaf with no tree. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You are a bridge that has not been crossed. You know?
Yes.
You are a sword with no blood. Yeah, you know, this is tight. You know?
Every Japanese roast is also a haiku. You know?
It's also a haiku, yeah.
Oh my God. You know what's so funny about to bring it back to the show is you know, talking about white, or they call it American women, which is very PC of the show. They don't just say white, but there was this one daughter, I don't remember her name. She is Sheik. She's in the Sheik community. And
Sheik.
So Sheik community. And one of the guys she might meet was married in the past. And she's also a divorcee. So her father was like, okay, that's fine. You guys are both divorcees. That's all good. Then he starts asking the matchmaker, Seema, about the previous marriage of the prospective man, and he finds out that he was white, and he goes, aha! and then
he goes, aha! Yes! Aha!
like he just,
that's what he was doing.
Yeah, he diagnosed cancer or something. She's like, aha! That shit was so fucking funny,
like,
man.
Aha! And the whole time that motherfucker's like this, too,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
This guy, he never uncrosses his arms.
No way.
He's wearing like a fucking... five-piece suit while he's like cooking deep frying shit in the kitchen. I'm like, what
he's
the fuck
is he
doing,
like Steve
bro?
Harvey, just like full on judging this other dude, you know?
He's the Punjabi Steve Harvey for sure, you know?
Yeah, I do want to talk quickly about just like the colorism thing, because that's a thing in for a lesser degree for East Asians, right? It can be really strong. It depends on sort of what community you're in. Like Vietnamese people, like we definitely have a thing about it. It's like tied to class, obviously. Where like if you know you're out in the field, that means you're so dark skinned. You know, we want someone who's been inside playing Warcraft the whole time. So like it's that's how it sort of expresses itself in Vietnamese culture. And it's funny, I used to work for a very big brand on their social media, and they over there, like this is a very, you've definitely heard of them, and they have a bunch of products which are all about fair, even skin. They call it even skin, but it's really about like lightening. Sometimes it just straight up says lightening or whitening cream on there, and I would be like, I would have to manage these social media pages, and I'd have to be posting these things about
I love how they got an Asian guy to do it.
I know, right? And I was like, all right, I get it, you know?
This will be a good cover for our operation.
Yeah, this Vietnamese guy is totally into white people, dude. You know, like, it's his fault. So it was definitely a thing, but, like, I feel that for, and correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like there is it's a class thing, but also it's kind of like almost a race thing, because I feel like there's, you know, India is as a nation state isn't just India, right? That was just like arbitrarily done by like some British guy named Bryce, and really
shout out to Bryce.
Yeah, right. It should there's a whole bunch of cultures there and identities, but like there is like a difference between like Indians from one part of the country. Their complexions are a little different from another part of the country. That's something I heard from my Indian friends. I don't know if that had to do with all that, you know?
I think there's, like, many layers to the colorism, right? Yeah. A lot of people ascribe it to, the, like, a British influence, right? Other people ascribe it to a Mughal influence. Then other people, they ascribe it to, like, regional biases that occur, right? From North Indians versus South Indians, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
North Indians can be a little bit lighter skinned and this and that. South Indians are darker, blah, blah, blah. I think there's like a lot of different levels to it. I think on a more an innocuous level, I think there's something interesting. Like, because white people, you never see a white person who's like, I need somebody even paler, right? Everyone's trying to be tan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everyone's trying to be tan. That's why gingers are like the N-words of the white community, was their first level of like, you guys are so pale and disgusting, you explode in the sun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's weird that white people are always wanting to get tan, but not wanting to accept people who were just born with tan.
Right. You have to work for your tan, okay? I don't want you to just naturally have it. I want you to spend the time earning it.
Exactly.
Yeah, you guys are cheaters. Exactly. Like,
yeah.
I want you to want this so bad you get cancer from it. You know what I'm saying? But it's weird because in India, it's like as in Hinduism, like so many of like Krishna, who's like one of the prevailing deities, is dark. His name literally means dark.
Oh, you know
shit. Oh, that's tight.
And and they're saying he was very dark skinned, and all these other like heroes and characters from the myths and legend are all very dark skinned. So it's like it's hard for me to really track how the colorism is actually.
Yeah.
What the origins of it are, and I think it's various threads that do that.
Let me ask you this. Okay, so obviously with the colorism, you know, it's 2020 in America, super racially sensitive right now. I think a lot of people on social media are like, this is so fucked up, this is crazy. And you know, for sure, I agree as a global citizen, but there's always a part of me
as a global citizen.
listen. But I'm just trying to not get canceled here because of the stray dog comment. I'm making up for the look. I said,
dog with no master.
There is a part of me. Here's a little story. Okay, I went to Mexico, and in Mexico there aren't a lot of Asians. And I remember when I went to Mexico, a lot of kids would come up and ask if they could take pictures with me, and they would touch my hand. Right? Do I think those kids are racist? No. Okay, but the white kids I was with were like, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing. They just couldn't believe that I was being treated this way. But I was like, nah, guys, it's fucking fine. And I feel sometimes Americans view the world through their lens, and maybe, you know, maybe we shouldn't be doing that. I don't know. Like, what do you think about? Like, obviously, it's not cool to judge people by this kind of their color. But like, sometimes I feel like Americans will see something that like this and really judge Indian people, or really judge the Indian culture through their lens. And I don't know if that's appropriate at all times.
I think that's like their own white guilt operating again. You know what I mean? And that's like the ultimate level of whiteness of just like, how dare you do the thing that I invented? That's cultural appropriation.
You know
what I mean?
Also, if you want to do it that way, you know, hey, build a whole system around it like we did. All right?
Yeah, they're like, what's that? What is that called? Like Salesforce? Like they sell a whole system to your company?
Oh my God, yeah.
Amazon Web Services?
We've
built it into our housing. It's sick, you know? How dare you?
Yeah, call for a free demo.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I also wanted to ask, I mean, like, is the caste thing a big thing, too? Because, you know, and does that translate over to America? I don't know. I'm sure it's a big thing in India still, but like, you know, how does that sort of play out, you know, like when you're dating and stuff like that?
Well, you know, again, dating isn't a thing in India. It is now.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. The like all those rigid social hierarchies and stuff are slowly kind of eroding, right?
Right.
And it takes time for that to happen. It's like 60, 70 years since Ambedkar, who was kind of one of the founding thinkers of India, and rigidly anti-caste, converted to Buddhism and all this stuff. Caste is still a big deal.
Yeah.
It's still a thing. Now, I grew up here, and we didn't have really... I was not exposed to caste as a concept, right? But that's also probably because it was operating in ways that I couldn't even see or perceive.
Oh, shit.
You know what I'm saying? In terms of who my parents were hanging out with and stuff like that. But, I mean, I don't really... It's not... It's very difficult as a concept for me to behold and be like, hey, you're Caius, I'm Caius, let's fuck. You know what I mean? It's like... It'd be great if there was like a grinder based on the caste system.
Oh,
that,
oh my god!
You know?
That would,
you know,
be wild, bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What are you, can only bukkake me if you're a Brahmin. You know what I'm saying? Brahminbukkake.com is, yeah, what it could be called.
So niche. I love it.
Yeah, it's very niche. You know,
dude. Sorry. Were you gonna say something?
No, I mean, it's something that exists, and definitely it exists for these people. And I think they were trying to hide that,
yeah,
a little,
yes,
bit in the,
yes,
show.
Yes, yes, yes. And, but you know,
they weren't saying cast.
But you know who they couldn't fucking hide it for is fucking Angel, fucking Babe, fucking Nadia.
Oh my God.
Bro.
Nadia.
Can we talk Nadia for a second?
Nadia's the best.
Fucking, I would lick the floor that she walks on, or whatever the American phrase is. I don't know. She's so, yeah, hot, and she's an event
Stray
planner,
dog,
and like... Rockin' body, great personality. You
Jesus.
Know? Oh, just love her, dude.
Oh,
but
my
then,
God.
But then, it's so, it was so sad for me to see how much she had accepted the fact that because she's an Indian person from Guyana, or Guyana,
Guyana, yeah,
she also herself accepted, like, oh, okay, well, I just can't meet these people. You know, it was right, so ingrained in who she was and who she came up that her parents were like, oh, is caste an issue? It's like, you don't fucking have to worry about that. You know, like, let them fuck. You know what I mean? Like, that part, yeah, was like, I don't have, I didn't even know they were over there. That's fucking crazy. Like, I you know, is that something you had heard growing up about, like, oh, he's an Indian guy, but he's actually from, he's West Indian from Africa or whatever, so he's different.
I mean, it's interesting because, like, I don't know if you can say that's like caste per se, right? That is their, like, class, on the other hand. You know what I mean? So, like, Indians who are in America, especially from, like, our generation, our parents came over because they were, like, highly educated.
Right.
And were already at a certain socioeconomic status. And so I think for them, it's like, oh, they've been in Guyana for 150 years. They're just kind of average people in this weird way.
Yeah.
I think that's how these kinds of Indians would perceive, which I think is fucked up, because I think for me, the Indians who are in Guyana are actually more Indian, in a sense.
How so?
Right?
How so?
Yeah, huh?
Because they've been displaced for longer. If you look at Nadia, her family, they've been displaced from India way longer than, like, my family has been, right?
Right.
You know what I mean? Indians have only been in America for 60 years, you know, and we're already like, hey, I'm Jay Patel or whatever. And it's like, Jagannathan, and he's like, I'm Jay or whatever, right? Meanwhile, these motherfuckers in Guyana, they've been out of India for 150 years, yet they still found a way to maintain the custom,
right,
to still marry Indians, stuff like that. So for me, the culture is, like, way stronger with them. You know what I mean? They should be more discriminatory in a weird way, if one is going to discriminate.
An outsider's point of view, of course, I was, like, watching this the whole time, and I couldn't help but think, like, oh, is this something that... I've heard, like, kind of, like, jokes about it, like, from comics about, like, you know, arranged marriage versus whatever, going on Tinder and stuff like that. And I wonder if a system like this could work in America sometimes. If it was like, because, you know, like, you know, your parents are still trying to look out for you. You know, like, hey, we want this person to be from, you know, to have an okay family. And, you know, your dad is going to be like, yeah, she's also going to get big tits. Am I right? You know, like.
The bio data would be different,
the
for sure.
The bio data, for sure. Yeah. We got to get some
big old titties.
Yeah, tigums. Yeah, so you know, I know this wasn't, like, something that you necessarily had to go through, but do you ever, like, look at it and go, huh, you know, like, this could be interesting? Because in some ways, it takes a lot of pressure off of, like, the craziness of dating. Do you know what I'm saying?
Totally. I think it's a superior system,
yeah,
in terms of, if the goal of society is to, like, just create these whatever atomized family units that are all identical and society can be built on these building blocks.
Oh,
I see. And it is a superior system in the sense that love is not the thing. Like, when I talked to my dad, because for a long time growing up, I had a weird issue about this concept of romance, love, because my parents had an arranged marriage. And it's like, oh, they don't love each other. And that's how I had perceived it as, like, a kid. And so for me, finding romance and finding love and passion and stuff was important to me at a certain point in my life. But my dad, I remember, asked him, I was like, what's going on? Like, do you guys love each other or whatever? He's like, Indian marriage is not about love.
Yeah.
Indian marriage is about duty.
Yeah.
Right? And so me as a husband, I fulfill my duty towards her mom, and she fulfills her duties towards me. And from there, love actually grows.
Oh. Mm.
So it's the duty is the soil from which love actually grows.
Also, dude, I buy into that.
Yeah. That also makes me kind of horny. I mean, I'm, you know.
Duty?
What if I search a little duty, you know, porn? Huh? She, oh. She's fulfilling her duty to me, if you know what I'm saying.
I never thought about
that. She comes in wearing a strap-on. She's like reporting for duty. Yeah.
Yo, every time she goes down here, she salutes. It's like, nah. Yeah.
she's like, this is for the family, you know. It's just, yeah.
I'm this is for the family. Yeah.
You know, you got to do the same thing. So
I really, I do agree with you because. Yeah, like a lot of the girls that their families would bring were like nice girls, and it makes sense. Like it's, you know, sometimes when friends set each other up, sometimes like one time I set up my roommate with a comedian because I thought it'd be funny. Like I'm a dick, right? But your mom is
that's
she
so cruel.
And she had a terrible time. She's like he just talked about himself for an hour. I left after a beer. She was like, "What the fuck was that?" And I was like, "Haha." Anyways, so but you know, your parents are not going to do that. It's, you know, you're not a prank to them, right? So they're going to do their best to find like
try,
a good-looking girl. And also like they if you think about it, they like really know you. Like they know the dark side of you, right? So they're like, "Well, my son is like, you know, I don't like it, but he's very selfish." And so he might like somebody who is flexible or whatever the fuck they say. That's what they say.
Need someone who can take a good body blow. You know, can take a punch. Yeah, good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the stats. I looked up some stats. They said that only 4% of arranged marriage couples get divorced. So that's pretty good. This is in 2012.
Dude, yeah, it's like the cases where they do get divorced is like when it's like physical spousal abuse, you know what I mean? Mm-mm. And I think you're right. I think it is. It's like, it kind of does work. And you're right. Your parents know you better than anybody. You know what I'm saying? They look at you from up here and we're like, you don't get me, mom and dad. I want to be a contemporary dancer. And you're like, bitch, you're uncoordinated. You always have been. Like, you know, you're good at math. So just fucking do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, they can look and see somebody else and they can look at what kind of family they came from. Not just in terms of like high class, low class or whatever, right? But like, are they similar to us? Are they from the same region? Do they have the same customs? What's it going to be like? Is there going to be a learning curve in having to get to know this other person when they actually get married?
Yeah.
And I think like my parents are really happy when my brother got remarried because he has two kids. He divorced, but his second wife, now is Indian from the same area as my family in India.
Word.
You know, they're Uttar Pradesh, all that stuff. And so the barrier for it's a much more seamless integration of the families. You know what I mean? Mm. And that's what it's about. It's about joining family units, building a thing, integrating someone into your family. So
that makes sense.
It makes a certain kind of sense. You know what I mean?
I wanted to ask this thing before we have a game for you that we like to play a little bit later. But I wanted to ask because you made a video about this, which was so funny. But okay, so you know. India, obviously, rich culture. They got their religion. I never really thought of them as, you know, them believing in these, like, sort of supernatural things. Like, but then they throw in the fucking face reader. They throw in the astrology. And I actually thought that was, like, that caught me off guard because I was like, oh, I thought they didn't, like, believe in that shit because
really?
They got God.
I thought that's what, like, Hinduism is all about. It's all about, you know what I'm saying? It's about, like, lighting incense and then fucking like, you know, looking into the stars and like, you know.
Well, I didn't think it was about like looking at a fucking pixelated fucking 3-megapixel picture of somebody and be like, yes, this face means he's not ready for marriage. Like, dude, this is one, it's one black box, sir.
People of color, man, you know, East Asians, holy crap. I can't remember which comic has this joke, but we just love to blame things on ghosts. All right. Everything's about ghosts.
Everything's about
luck. You know, for East Asians, it's like, okay, you know, like, what day was he born? On the 15th? That's a bad luck number. You know, like, now they can't get married or whatever.
Yeah,
but
it can't be your parenting technique. It must be the date that he was born.
It was definitely because he was born on a Thursday, you know, like, that's
not because,
the thing.
Not because I was cheating on your mom this whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
It wasn't
your
his
son's
own
a pedophile, yes, Virgo, you know?
Yeah. But wait, bad. Hold on. He's a pedophile, but what, he was born on the 1st? Very auspicious,
exactly.
Very auspicious. So, I don't know, like, yeah, is that how much of, I didn't even know if that face reading was a thing, though. Is that, like, that was, because you did a really hilarious sketch about that.
Yeah, everyone go check that out on my Instagram. It's real. It's a real thing. Face reading is not something I was ever accustomed to, but like astrology is huge in India. It's huge, and it's like thousands and thousands of years old there. It's, I think it might be the first like astrological system that exists. Indians are really into astronomy in general, and so they're hyper into the planetary movements and all that stuff. And before you get married, you go to a pundit or a swami, and you get the charts lined up, and then they will tell you based on the birth charts, these two will be a good match.
Oh shit,
that's a true thing. And when you're born, if you're a Hindu, when you're born, you get up your birth chart read almost immediately, and you figure out what's what with your life and this and that and the other thing, what your attributes are going to be.
Did you get one of those? Do you remember what did it say? You know what I'm saying? Did it foretell this? Huh?
In some ways it did.
Oh, really?
It did in some ways, yeah.
You will go to the east and meet two wise men. What does that mean?
To the east coast, yeah, to Brooklyn, east New York. Yeah, and meet two knuckleheads. That's pretty much what was foretold. That was the biggest thing on my chart, was doing this podcast, actually.
Oh, my God.
Twice. I don't know if you knew this, but this is in the stars. I did. It said some stuff which turned out to be kind of accurate.
Oh, wow.
But,
One thing that I love, and this only just, I think I knew this sort of like instinctually, but like white girls are slowly just becoming South Asian because they just like, they took the yoga, got it. They got the astrology, loving that shit. Okay?
Owning it.
Are we thinking that white girls are going to get into arranged marriages? You know? Is that... That's the next step, right? Like, you think that, like, Gwyneth Paltrow is going to be like, I have now created a system. She won't call it arranged marriages. She'll call it something else.
Yeah,
you know
what I'm saying? Yeah.
She'll call it, you know, whatever the fuck it is. Like, you know, chakra marriages or some shit like that.
Yeah. Conscious coupling.
Yes, conscious. Yes!
Conscious coupling. Yeah, and that'll be their perfect way to reintegrate racism. They'd be like, it's an Indian thing. Nobody too dark, okay? Gwyneth Paltrow will be doing the Indian head bob. Yeah. Like, but nobody too dark, okay? It'll work. And that's how it's going to go down,
for
sure.
Oh, my God.
It's so funny. You're totally right. My ex-girlfriend had this used to say this really funny thing about... Because I'm into, like, a lot of Indian shit, you know, where it's like I'm into, like, yogic breathing, cold showers, astrology, you know, vibes, all the stuff that comes with my religion. She's like, what are you, some kind of fucking white bitch? You know? I was like, it's honestly the funniest thing ever to see it be, like, refunneled back through white women.
It's
and now people think
anymore.
I'm just, people think I'm acting like a white woman now. I'm like, fuck.
No, we're gonna play a game. We're gonna play Indian matchmaking for Pranav.
Yeah,
and that's gonna be the game. And so, what you're gonna do? You're gonna list out five or six things that
criteria,
you're looking for.
Criteria, as they call
criteria. Criteria in a partner, and then Fumi and I will each bring you one, and then you have to choose
which one to marry.
One of those two things. And what I love too, just as a quick aside, was that everybody seemed to sort of list the same things. Do you know what I'm saying? Everybody's good natured. You know,
decent,
like,
human being.
Yeah. Interesting person, a good person. You know, you know, 5'11" or whatever the fuck it is, 6'2" or whatever the fuck it is. And I just thought that was hilarious. It's like everybody just keeps listing the same thing. It doesn't matter what it is, you know.
Oh, you're saying like you might as well, since you're paying for the service, might as well put on like a ridiculous filter.
Yeah, like, you know, ass that won't quit. You know, so can you put something like that there?
Fat ass and looks good in polka dots.
Fat ass.
Yeah. I want a bad bitch. I want. Can I put that in there as a thing?
I want
thing?
Somebody who's Ivy League educated, makes over six figures.
Why the fuck not?
And ain't afraid of an old butthole. Ain't afraid of a hairy Indian butthole.
Yeah, get in there. Okay, so I don't know, Pranav, you maybe want to take a minute to think about it, or if you already have it,
five
who knows?
Attributes.
Yeah,
five criteria. Attributes. Yes, what does Pranav look for in a future partner? Go.
Kindness.
Aw, oh, damn it.
Is Mike writing this down?
Hot. I'm gonna try to write it down so I can remember. Okay, yeah, kindness.
So kindness, hot, smart. This isn't in order necessarily. Kind, hot, smart, good sense of humor, and.
But this one, your fifth one has to be the crazy filter.
It has to be the crazy filter?
Yes.
Mongolia.
Meet this falcon.
My mom.
He's my mom.
Fuck. I don't even know. Those are the four most important things for me. Fifth, yeah, nice ass.
Nice ass. Nice ass in perpetuity or just like just for the next 5 years or so?
Okay.
I mean, is this a marriage thing or is this like a dating thing?
This is a marriage thing, bro.
This look, I'm saying if she's 80, she better her ass better be fucking still hot. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't. Put,
that's
you
what
didn't,
I'm saying.
You didn't put age as a criteria, so we you know that's what yeah. we're doing
exactly.
here.
Exactly. Yes.
All right. Okay. So kindness. So we're gonna go through this again. Kindness, hot, smart, sense of humor, nice ass, fantastic. Yeah. Okay, so this person comes from, you know, is hardworking. Okay, was an attorney, cares about her community, very hot, has appeared on multiple magazine covers, highly educated, very funny. You know, has written a book. Okay.
Is this Nancy Grace? Are you talking about Nancy Grace? What the fuck's going on here?
Okay, and. Former first lady, Michelle Obama. Okay, that's the first one. We've got Michelle Obama. We're assuming that she's not married. Okay, so, but Michelle Obama. Fantastic. Okay, she has kids, but, yeah. You know, okay, that's okay.
Okay, now, okay, I'm gonna, since you brought out your A game, I will also bring out my A game. Okay.
Wow, okay, Michelle Obama. I'm gonna get canceled if I say no to Michelle Obama. You know that, right?
Okay, my person, my prospect for Pranav is, you know, this person's very kind. Everybody knows this person as a kind person. This person is, for sure, a little bit on the older side, but considered hot. In fact, there were a lot of photos that, I don't want to say leaked, but a lot of paparazzi photos of this person, you know, in a bathing suit on the beach, looking hot for this person's age. Smart, Ivy League educated. Sense of humor, absolutely. This person has done a podcast, I think, which is not something that someone in this position would do, but has done podcasts, fairly funny. And nice ass, absolutely. When this person wears the right types of trousers, if you want to call it, that they, you know, when this person does that, it makes my pants a little tight, might I add. So nice ass for sure. And this person is Barack Obama. Boom.
I knew it.
Bam. Boom. Bam.
I knew
Boom.
It. What, I can't get a Sasha in there? No, Sasha Obama?
No, because Sasha would have happened if this was Mango Bay. But we're not. Because you guys love kids. You guys doing kid shit.
You guys love talking about kids. And we're going.
The world's
going
number one pedophile podcast.
Number one pedophile podcast.
We're going straight to the Pizzagate. So, it's between Barack Obama or Michelle Obama.
Yeah.
Oh man.
You're gonna get canceled either way, dude.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Barack actually.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, fair.
Because I think I'm a top, and I think Michelle is also a top.
Yeah, Michelle definitely top. Yeah, Michelle
that's not gonna work.
Yeah,
top.
Two tops that don't work. So I'm gonna have to go with Barack.
Oh my gosh.
Nice.
Wow.
Well, you guys are going on a first date at a. Horse ranch or whatever it is. That what's his name?
Exotic Guantanamo Bay, yeah. Cuba.
You'll be staying there for 5 to 10 years. It'll be great.
Yes, that'd be funny if Pranav was episode 3 of the Michelle Obama podcast, the guest, the man who took my husband,
the guy who cucked me.
Well, Pranav, thank you so much for doing this podcast. Always love hanging out with you. This was so much fun. Thank you educating us on the wonderful world of Indian matchmaking. Where can our listeners find you? What do you want to plug?
Instagram, baby, at Pranahaha. Also, you got to follow the podcast, Mango Bay. It's also on Instagram, Your Mango Bay, YourMangoBae. It's with the boy, Usama Siddiqui.
Hey.
Siddiqui. you know what it is. It's my best boy right there. Just follow that shit. Lots of good content coming out on the gram, and
Hell yeah.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And you can also find us on Instagram at Asian.AsianPod. I'm also on all platforms at TheFumiAbe. That's TheFumiAbe.
And you can find me on Instagram at NicePantsBro.
Please join us on Patreon, patreon.com/Asian.AsianPod for bonus content. We have monthly bonus content, and they are just me and Mike getting real problematic. So it's a good time. Please check us out. We also have a weekly Zoom comedy show called Hack City. It's every Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern. It's free. Just go to Asian.AsianPod.com for tickets. Tell your friends. It's a great time. It's on Zoom. And we're
best
also,
show in the city.
Best show in the city. And we're thinking about doing something outside soon. So definitely follow us on Instagram to look out for that news. And I think that's it. Pranav, thank you so much. This was so much fun. And Anals, we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye, guys. Love you, Anals. Thanks, guys. Peace.